Selma, and to you. Boy, you sang out great this morning. Well, I, unlike Peter, am thankful there is no snow. Are you with me, or? Hi, Billy. I just say that, Peter, fun. I know the snow is coming. So, and it has been here, we got a little taste of it. But I believe that Peter wants to go on his skidoo, and that's true. How many of you are hunters? A few of you. Great. You're out this week? Were you? How many of you got out this week? All right, how many of you got something? Oh! Winner! No, sorry. It's great. Awesome. It's hunting season. Everybody's out hunting. I have to share with you this morning. I'm having a... This is not going to be an easy sermon to preach. Be honest. Because it's about religion. And I prayed about this. As I've been doing this series, gradually the Lord has made them harder and harder topics as it went along. But this one this morning is lots of fun, and I hope you'll just walk with me through it. How many of you have been, in some way, been defined by the church or shaped by the church? You grew up in the church. You know all the rules and regulations of the church. You've kind of been there. Yeah, okay, most of you have. How many of you just faithfully, you know, attended Sunday morning activities, Wednesday evening prayer meeting, any time the church was open, youth activities? I mean, you were there. You know, mission conferences. How many of you would say, okay, that was me. I was at every time the church doors were open, bang, I was there. Bang, I was. Okay, yeah, that's most of you. Well, I can remember. Some of you are there right now. I can remember a song from a line that goes like something like this. I've grown accustomed to your face. You know the song, I've grown accustomed to your face. Well, that can describe, in essence, the church. People have grown up, the church doors open, entering in those moments in life. They've grown accustomed to the face of the church. Grown accustomed to the lingo, to the customs, the traditions that have shaped the church. And often look through stained glass lenses, the church shapes us instead of us shaping the church. When I talk about religion, I'm talking about the piety, pretentious, rule-abiding. I'm talking about extreme. Religion told you what to believe. Told you who to trust, to distrust. Religion told you how to behave. Did you know why this is why most people turn away from religion and ultimately the church? Because they associate so many negative things with religion or the church. I'm going to say something today that you can quote me on. We don't need more religious people. We need more people who are filled with the Spirit of God. Because religious people bemoan the fact, if you notice that they're Christians. They judge, they're very critical, they're put down. I mean, Jesus talked a lot to religious people. They were called the Pharisees. Told you this wasn't going to be an easy morning for me. I want to start by showing you this wonderful little cartoon. Look at this. It's a wonderful statement for our churches. We have plenty of young people in the church. Loretta and Roy are in a day over 65. It often defines the church today. Jesus had something to say about the church that he instituted. He did that in Matthew 16. He said to Peter, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And Jesus was right. Church, not even hell itself, can take away what the church really is. And that's the Spirit of God in His people. The body of Christ. Can you say the body of Christ? Say it again. The body of Christ. Man, we got some arms. Come on. Got some hunters. Come on. One hunter left, did he? He's going to protect his elk or whatever he got. We got some feet, you know, some legs. We got some eyeballs. We got some liver. We got some colons here today. Body of Christ. I'm sorry, I missed something. I missed something on this side of the room. I missed something. What was it that you said? Did I say they're not important? Well, of course they are important. Very important. I want you to turn to John chapter 21 this morning. I'm just going to try and get you out of here so you can watch the football game today. See, because we have some football fans. How many of you are football fans? How many of you, your team's winning? Oh, you're all Rider fans. Oh, good. Okay. I'm in trouble probably for that statement alone. John chapter 21. No good, you got, I was going to say, take it off the cartoon. I don't want to. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 15. It's a great passage of Scripture. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, remember, Peter is the one that Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church. Said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. Third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. A spirit-filled person sees situations. You see the situations around you. I recall I visited this couple in their home, and they were in their late 50s, early 60s, and she had just had a heart bypass, and he was not in the greatest of health, and I paid them a visit in their home. Somebody had called me and said this couple had just gone through this, and so, you know, this is kind of where they're at. And so I entered their home. They graciously accepted me, and I felt tension as I came in, uneasiness. I have that effect on most people. And I asked, you know, how they were doing in their health and stuff, and then I asked them, I said, hey, how's your spiritual journey? You know, where's your church home? Both of them turned white. And he left the room. I thought, what? Easy way to clear a room. I mean, and she went into a whole dissertation of why they certainly will never, ever set foot into another religious institution. I mean, they raised their kids in Sunday school. They attended church every Sunday. They were baptized. They were members. They were involved in different leadership areas and music programs. But they were walking through a very difficult time in their marriage. And a very well-meaning pastor visited them and explained that what he saw was occurring in their family. He said, I noticed there's a lot of tension and grief going on. And he was well-meaning, but he explained, he said this, until you get your act together, or at least look happy when you attend church activities, we're going to ask you not to attend anymore. Oh, yeah, you sound shocked, I know. And at the time when they needed the church the most was that time when the church turned on them the greatest. See, I can understand that statement, religion, it's not for me. I can get that. Because most people don't want religion. What most people need is really the love of God. Did you know the Apostle Paul, He said, if you have all knowledge and if you have all faith and you lack love, you have nothing. That's a pretty remarkable statement in the Word of God. If you're not the body of Christ, interrelating, loving, you can have everything else, but if you don't have that, you've got nothing. Jesus said to Peter in John 21, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Okay, Peter, help somebody. I mean, you know Jesus said, feed my sheep, but it's really the same thing. Got to stop spiritualizing Scripture so we're comfortable with. Peter was called into the ministry. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Second time, Jesus says to Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Well, feed my lambs. Third time, Peter, do you love me? And the Bible says it grieved Peter that the Lord questioned him a third time, do you love me? Do you think that maybe Jesus was trying to make a little bit of a point here? Do you think he was trying to get it through Peter? This is what the church is to do. You got it yet? Do you love Jesus? Help somebody. How can we keep saying that we love Jesus? How can we just keep going to church and jumping up and down and praise and worship, wanting to get our blessing, go back home, be depressed all day because nobody met our need? Too many people in trouble. There are too many people in need. People are trying all kinds of stuff, and they're going to find out that none of it works, and the only thing that's going to be left is Jesus, and he needs you fired up and ready to go. Praise God that we can feed each other. Some people, I think, have the better gift of creating some kind of meal. I don't have that gift. If you ate my cooking, man, I'd be visiting you in the hospital, you know. That would be my gift, you know. Some of you are great at encouraging. Others of you are great at just praying for people. Many of you I know are good at just noticing. Oh, so-and-so's not here. I'm going to look after that and make sure they're okay. You know, throughout the Bible, there are many, many occasions, you just walk through the Bible, where it says, Jesus was moved with compassion. And Jesus was moved with compassion, he healed the sick. Jesus was moved with compassion. All through Scripture, you can take your time, go through and figure that all out. But there are so many ways when Jesus was moved with compassion, boom, he saw the situation. 1 John 3:17 says, but if anyone has this world's goods, resources for sustaining life, and sees a fellow believer in need, yet closes their heart of compassion against them, how can the love of God live and remain in them? Understand this above anything else this morning. God has given you a heart of compassion. You see, the religious heart closes off the compassion and works more on the judgment.
That one's going to go to heaven, that one's going to go to heaven. Well, that one's going to, oh, look what they did.
We talked a little bit about this in our membership class this morning. That it's amazing how when Jesus sat with Peter and said, upon this rock I'll build my church, then at the end of all this, they said, he's the Christ. And he said, yeah, but don't tell anyone. Keep it a secret, okay? So they left there, right away they start telling people. I said, I think Jesus knew that that's what would happen. Of course he knew that. But I think Jesus understood better than we understand human nature that, shh, don't tell a soul. Oh, wait! I got to call the prayer chain. Don't tell anyone this, but compassion. We have the ability to open our compassion or close it by the act of our will. We can hear about a need, we can meet the need out of compassion, or we can close our heart and say, no, not me. I am more important than, I have more important things that the Lord has called me to than showing compassion. Let me tell you, if you think the Lord is calling you to do something that has nothing to do with showing compassion to those in need, you better get back down on your knees and cry out to God to really show you who you are in Him. Because when God calls you, when God empowers you, when God gifts you, He does so in such a way that it will affect those within your section of the world beyond what you're comfortable with. God wants to grow His kingdom. He wants more people to know Him personally. He does not want you to grow your kingdom through your efforts. He will only grow His kingdom through His own effort. Don't ever let compassion get in the way of your ministry for God, because God doesn't want that to happen. That's religion, folks. God will blow away anything that closes our compassion. You can have all knowledge. You can have all faith, but if there's no love, you have nothing. It scares me how many times in my life I've heard about needs and I didn't let the compassion flow. I really believe that we're going to be held accountable for the lack of compassion and encouragement we're showing to people. I do believe that, because Scripture is very clear. Encourage one another, build one another up. Interconnectedness. This is really what Jesus was calling us to. The body of Christ. We feel whole when we're connected. And love will do that. Potlucks are great for that. I think we're going to get to heaven. It'll be a big potluck. Some people talk better when their mouths are full. Startling to think that religion keeps people from Jesus. Isn't that startling? You've got to start seeking situations where you can feed sheep. Jesus calls us to help others. It's our calling. Seek the situation. Two men were riding a bicycle built for two in a race. It was these races where you get on these bikes, and they're two-man bikes, and these guys were, they were going at it. And it took a great struggle. They got this hill, and this guy, the guy in the front was just, oh, man, it's just taking forever. And the guy behind, they're like, whoa, they're getting up there, and they get to the top, and then in front, he says, boy, that was the hardest climb ever. Fell in the back. He replies, yeah. If I hadn't kept the brakes on all the way, we would have rolled back down. You know, we put the brakes on in ministry, religion. We put the brakes on. Whoa, hold it. Whoa, you can't do that. We wonder why people are worn out. If you want to enjoy life, look for ways in which you can help others to be free in Christ. Free in Christ. They'll be blown away. Joy will restore once again to your own heart when you discover ways to do that. Jesus called us to live this way. Feed my sheep. Philip Yancey said, I found that when I abandon church for a time, I am the one who suffers. My faith fades. The crusty shell of lovelessness grows over me again. I grow colder rather than hotter. Joshua said, a house divided against itself cannot stand. It's time to be the church. It's not a building. It's you. Just look around you. Just take a moment, look around. It's okay. You can look at the clock if you need to. Just look around. It's okay. Look around you. This is the church. I see a beautiful picture of the church. Every Sunday I get to stand here and look at your faces and know that our God is a great God. We can also look around us and say, who's not here? Who needs a phone call? How about a visit? Who needs a touch of compassion in some way just to lift their heart? But unfortunately, many people think that, well, nobody cares. I'm not even going to come. I'm not going to be there. Unfortunately, religion has got us into that mode where I don't need to be there. Did you know they're all needed? That's the body. I need my fingers, I need my hands, I need my arms. We're all needed to be whole. A spirit-filled person sees situations, but they also seek serving. Seek serving. Now, this is where we kind of can go crazy, really. I mean, serving, oh no, to serve. I mean, not only should we see a situation, but we need to seek to serve into that situation. I mean, Jesus established the church using everyday people like Peter. And you know why he did that? So that you would know that he can use you too. That's why he used Peter. Peter denied him 3 times, not just once, 3. That's why Jesus asked him, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Oh yeah, yeah I do, yeah I do, yeah I do. And then 3 times he denies him. See? Interesting how it correlates, isn't it? Jesus is asking the same thing of you. Do you love me? Yeah, I do. Okay, feed my sheep. Quit judging them. Quit telling them what to do and not to do. I'll look after that. You just feed them. You love them. You show compassion. Well, wait, isn't that the pastor's job? Wait. My role is to help you understand this. See, we need to pray for humility to enter our heart, for eyes to see who is in need and who needs to be fed. We need to be broken to love God with no strings attached. We can't walk with religious rules. In fact, Jesus had so much to say about religious rules. We can only walk with God and discover who he is in freshness and vitality when we do so with compassion and feed one another. The American athlete said, I love inspiring people, and if I can make a difference in one person's life, then that's success for me. One person. When carried away at Summer Jam this past year, Summer Jam, carried away said to me, they said, we don't care how many people come to listen to us. We care about one person who doesn't know who Jesus is. And if that one person shows up or walks through this park, then we've accomplished what God has called us to. Jesus calls Peter and he says, do you love me? Yeah. Then feed my sheep. Every one of you has a pulpit to serve. I'm supposed to train up the believers, the body of Christ, that they might go and do the work of the ministry. I am going to ask you a critical question this morning. What are you doing for somebody else? You need to ask yourself that, and I need to ask myself that. Once again, we can become so religious. We can walk around, we can pray in tongues and quote Psalms and Proverbs and go to church services and raise our hands and yell and scream like we're elephants and go to Bible studies. But what are you doing to help somebody? Well, I got involved in church work once, and they took advantage of me, and I got burned out. I don't want to get involved. I just don't want to get involved anymore. Question, how can you be part of the body and not be involved? I don't say to my arm, oh, arm, this morning you got it off. I don't need to write. In fact, I won't write. I'll just give you today off. You don't, it's okay. All right, arm? I don't need to eat. Stomach, so you won't have to work today. It's all right. You can take it off. Bladder, I don't. Anyway. Are you kind of getting it? Do you see it? Once you begin loving God in this way this morning, you will be inconvenienced. You'll not always get your way. You may not even achieve what you think you should. But one thing I do know, you will enjoy your life. You will be a success. Don't spend your life grumbling all day about your job that you hate. driving in traffic that drives you crazy, coming home to your house that you can't stand, watching the Itty Box for 4 hours, laying in bed with insomnia, getting up and doing it all over again. Except Sunday, when you find yourself sitting in church that you completely criticize all the time. What a great life. I'm enjoying life. It's great. Fantastic. Feed sheep. Help somebody. Now, wait a minute. I got to talk about balance, because some of you are going to go crazy at this because you think you need to. Your lives have to be balanced. You have to have some rest. You need to do things for yourself, like going hunting or watching the football game. You need to stay home. It's not wrong to watch television and do things, but I'm saying whatever we do, we've got to blast ourselves out of the selfish, self-centered, if I can just live this perfect life, then I'm permitted to judge everybody else who doesn't. Because that's what religion is. That's what it's become. But you know, I got involved with people once. They took advantage of me. Yeah? People will. But don't do it for people. Do it for Jesus. Whatever you've done to the least of these, my brethren, you've done also to me. And what you've not done to the least of these, my brethren, you've not done to me. Jesus takes this stuff personally. Whatever you do, whatever your task is, do it with all of your heart, and do it not to please humankind, but do it to please God. Your reward comes from Him anyway. That's where it comes from. You know, I've come to understand I can't judge people. I mean, it says reading the word judge not, lest you be judged. We don't pay attention to that much, but. And I've come to understand that instead of judging, I need to pray more. I need to pray. I need to pray for that person who needs Jesus. They don't need me telling them how to live this life. They need to see me living it. Fundamentalism often crushes the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God, where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom. Can you say, where the Spirit of God is, there's freedom? You get this? Archbishop William Temple describes the church as the only cooperative society in the world that exists for the benefit of its non-members. I like that. What benefit? What benefit is there in being part of FIRST? That's a question I ask in membership baptism. And we're now on today and we talked about this. And you know, it's amazing. I wish you could all hear those stories. But the benefit, the acceptance. Accepted. I can be real. I can hurt if I want to hurt. I can be in pain. I can be happy and nobody's going to go, what are you happy for? This is church. Come on. My children are accepted here. That's a big one. See, freedom. Not punishment. Not judgment. Not what's in it for me. God brings freedom. I want you to close your Bibles because I want you to hear this for a moment. Lefty Scumacci describes best way that I know the church. He was president of a union of steelworkers, and they were in a very heated discussion. And Lefty blurted out without even thinking. Didn't even think. I've been there. A lot of that happened this morning. He said, you know, everything would change if you guys would just treat one another like the other person was Jesus. Well, that's not a very overpowering revelation. Many in attendance likely heard that statement before in some kind of a religious rally or a church. But he said it, and it was startling, because something happened. The process of that statement caused labor leaders and managers to form friendships unheard of. jokes went back and forth. Enemy lines that were drawn all of a sudden just faded away. And even in as people come into work, hugs would happen. Comment was even made by a worker who said, when my boss's kid was sick and in hospital, I went and saw him every day on the way home from work. I would never have done that before, but I just knew how much it would mean to him if I stopped by. The boy of his is a great kid. I really like getting to know him, hearing him tell stories about his old man, writing it down. Did you know that a year before that statement was made, that shop was described as the worst place ever to work? And in a year, 1 year, became a church. All because people started treating one another with love. See, that's why a revolution takes place when Christians decide to look beyond themselves and their desires and their wants and their preconceived ways of the way people should be and just serve Jesus, not serve religion. That's why over the series I've been sharing with you some of my own personal spiritual life as far as my prayer time. I look and observe what God is doing. Look at these flowers, God, you give. Look at the snow you give, God. It's life-giving to me. And what is least giving to me. And then praying through that at the end of the day. And then also the Lectio Divina, where I sit down in front of the Word of God and I'll read just maybe a couple of verses. I come quiet before Him and I'll read those two verses and I'll read them twice through. A few verses, and I'll say, okay, God, what are you trying to teach me through this? And then God always pulls something out for me. I've told you about this. So that you serve Jesus. Not a religion. It's all about Him. That's what it's about. It's not about, what can I get on Sunday morning? Well, I can't get what I get here, so I'm going to go over here. I'm going to try this one out. I'll try this one out for a while. And I'll go over here. And this is not Superstore, friends. This is not Walmart. You are the church. The body of Christ. Interconnecting. So that we love Him more. Love Him more. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. But I tell you, everyone in this room, every one of you are needed in order for us to be whole. That's the body of Christ. Let's pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I'm going to ask you if you're willing, like Peter, to see situations and to seek to serve in those situations. Now, maybe that means you got to let go of your needs. Maybe that means you're going to be inconvenienced. Maybe that means you have to let go of the religious stuff, maybe even of your past, so that you can feed sheep. If you're willing to come to God, and this is huge, but if you're willing to come to Him today and say, God, I'm willing to do this today. I'm willing to let go of the religious stuff that is hindering me. And I'm willing to love the way you want me to love. Now, you have to understand, that's a huge commitment. So I don't want to diminish that. But if you're willing to say, I'm gonna let go of that religious structure stuff, that judgmental piety, somehow that I learned, so that I can just help somebody. God, I'm willing to do that. That's your first part of your prayer. The second part is, and then God, show me who I need to help. If you're willing to do that today and make that commitment to Him, I invite you to just, while every head is bowed, every eye is closed, I invite you to just lift your hand. Just lift your hand up. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees them. Maybe for you today, you got caught up in the religion, hurt by the church. Let me tell you something. Jesus never intends to hurt you. Jesus loves you and accepts you for who you are. He wants your life to just be so much better. And maybe you need to make a fresh commitment today in some way with him and just saying, God, I've been so hurt. You know what I've walked through. You know how I've been judged. You know what people have said about me and what hurt me. I'm going to let that go today, God, because I know you love me. And just say that to him and let him love you, because he does. And he accepts you just the way you are. Lastly, I just want to say that the Bible is there for a reason. It's not, we call it the rule book, I call it a manual. And it's there to help me live life to the fullest. I read through it and there's stuff that jumps out for me. Not for anyone else, but for me. So that I can learn and live my life the way God really has a plan for my life. And I live it that way, and he brings those out to me. Maybe you just want to say, God, I want to do that. I want to look at the Bible differently in a sense. I want to look at it as a manual for me and in ways I can actually start living life better. Maybe you need to just dig into a couple verses this week or something, so you can kind of see it. Father God, today, while this, it's never easy to talk about religion, because God, we often look at it as something that you love, and we know, God, you've instituted the church. There's no doubt. You love us. You love us so much that you say, you got options. God, may we not carry the hurts that others have imposed on us. Even well-meaning pastors or well-meaning people in the church. May we not carry that, God. May we release it so that we're free. And may your Spirit just enter us, Lord, so that we would serve you even better as we see situations around us, so that we can feed your sheep. And to you be the glory and the honor forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.